Thank you, and thank everybody for being here after lunch on the last day. And I'm going to talk about REAIM and give an overview. Before I do that, I have no relationships to disclose. This quote is really important for us to think about because it really emphasizes the importance of planning for maximum impact, which is a strength of the REAIM framework and something that I think will come across as we talk about it today. Before I get started, how many people are familiar with REAIM? Wow. So maybe we're singing to the choir here. And the people that work with us should be, but I'm surprised at how many other people are. So my role today is really to set the stage for the discussion on applying REAIM at the individual, environment, and policy intervention levels. And my colleagues will then go into a lot more depth with specific examples. Joanne will be applying REAIM to vaccine policy. Deanna will be applying it to the wild, woolly world of worksite interventions, and Bridget will be applying it to a patient-centered tobacco cessation intervention. And if you stick around to the end, Russ is going to talk about the tell-all inside story of REAIM, so you'll get to hear all the dirt. So I'm going to define the dimensions, discuss it as a planning and evaluation framework, and then also questions to consider modifications that were needed when we applied REAIM to plan and evaluate policy and environmental interventions. So what is it? It sounds like a lot of people in here probably know, but REAIM was developed to address a major limitation in clinical trials where the evidence was developed in a controlled research setting and then tried to be translated into the real world. And so REAIM is really trying to address that gap. It was developed to improve external validity, close the gap between research and practice, and it expands on work of others, including Abrams and colleagues, who first defined program impact as the product of reach times efficacy, and I'll talk a little bit more about those terms. But what REAIM does is it brings the setting into the picture and looks at adoption, implementation, and maintenance of the programs. It is a five-dimension framework, obviously, and it's based also on Everett Rogers' Diffusion of Innovations. And as I mentioned, it can be used for both planning and evaluating issues relevant to program adoption, implementation, and maintenance. And when I use the term maintenance, I'm talking about sustainability. So the REAIM dimensions provide standard criteria for reporting and making comparisons and decisions across diverse strategies. It's not really a measure per se. What it does is it proposes a way to look at an intervention's reach, efficacy or effectiveness, adoption, implementation, and maintenance, and together have a good picture of whether or not you could have a public health impact and to the degree that you can do that. The dimensions answer the questions of reach, and when I talk about reach, that's the who or whose health and health behavior are we hoping to improve. Effectiveness, that's the what. What do you want to see happen as far as a change in health or health behavior? It looks at adoption, and when we talk about adoption and REAIM, we're really talking about the settings where the people you're trying to reach will encounter or be exposed to the intervention. And that could be schools, work sites, or community locations, healthcare locations. So when we talk about the adopters, we're talking about the organizations, but also the people in those organizations. And they're at the setting level, that's where we're really talking about implementation. Who is going to implement whatever it is the intervention is? How long or how will these people in those settings deliver that intervention? And then maintenance is how long will the changes produced by the intervention be sustained? And maintenance is looked at both as the individual, can the individual sustain their behavior change, whatever it was you're hoping to affect, and can the setting keep it going for the long haul? So to get a little deeper into each of these, I thought I'd give you an example of how REAIM is typically used. And so I mentioned reach is the number and percent of target population that you're hoping to impact. The extent of those reach are representative and include those most at risk. The representation of your target population is really important. And so, for example, if we were talking about a smoking intervention, number and demographics of the eligible patients that enrolled in that smoking cessation program would be a reach, would be your reach. So, moving on to efficacy or effectiveness, again, that's a measure of the impact on health or health behavior, and you really want to look not just at the positive impacts, but keep in mind, since we're talking real world, is there an unanticipated negative impact, and you know, track those and keep in mind, keep that in mind. And so for the smoking example, that would be the extent that participants cut back or quit smoking might, excuse me, be your effectiveness. As far as adoption is at the setting level again, and it's similar to how we look at reach. So that's looking at the number and percent of invited settings or settings that you hope would participate and their staff. And then the extent that those are representative of real settings where your target population would typically go. So if you're only getting the best resourced, largest, most affluent adopting settings, that may not be really representative of what you're trying to do. And so that's something to keep in mind. And so in this example, do clinics that adopt the program differ from those who don't in size, resources, and clientele? Implementation, again, is the level of adherence to your implementation protocols, so the things that you tested rigorously in a research setting, how are they changed when you get out into the real world, and how are they adapted? And we do expect some adaptation, and adaptation is a reasonable thing to expect and to encourage, but you don't want to lose sight of what made that intervention effective. And so really understanding how different settings implement is important. As far as maintenance, at the individual level, do patients in our example continue to limit or eliminate cigarettes? Do they revert back to former behaviors? Do the settings continue to offer whatever the intervention was? Do they have in place staffing, budget, and those kind of things? So traditionally, REAM has worked very well as a framework for patient-level interventions. I just want to talk a little bit more about how these get more complex and messy when you're applying them to policy and environmental interventions, particularly related to defining who your target populations are, who are your potential adopters, and even defining what you mean by implementation fidelity when you're talking about policy and environment change. So continuing with our example, when you're talking about reach, some of the questions that we would ask in a policy or an environmental intervention is, what is the denominator? You know, if you're trying to change a park or you're trying to change a policy, who is it that is the target population? And so, for example, smoke-free air laws, is that target population smokers? Is it everybody because of secondhand smoke? And so those things need to be defined if you're going to use REAM and measure those. As far as effectiveness, does the policy or environmental intervention impact all groups equally? So if you're looking at something that's more population level, does a tax on cigarettes impact low-income groups differently than higher income groups? So really considering when you're looking at applying REAM to policy or environment change, you know, how does that happen across your population and across your subgroups? As far as adoption, which agencies or individuals are needed? So adoption of smoke-free air laws might need involvement of businesses, restaurant associations, policymakers, citizens. And so it's really understanding who are the adopters, and if you're talking about an environmental change, who is the adopters? Who do you need to bring to the table to make sure that the intervention is going to happen, and that you need to recognize that the people you bring to the table to approve a policy or to approve an environmental change may be very different than those who are enforcing the policy. Enforcing the environmental change, and so it's important to look at that. As far as implementation, To what extent are policy, you know, we all think policy is sort of the golden bullet or whatever the right metaphor is for getting behavior change. And actually, it's only how well they are implemented and enforced. So, for example, with smoke-free air laws, originally in Colorado, there was a lot of discussion about who does that apply to. Is it a full restaurant? Is it just a restaurant that seats so many people? What about casinos? And so there may be a lot of interpretation, and so you'd really want to measure the comprehensiveness of that implementation. And then as far as maintenance, is there continued enforcement? What about social norms and political will and public compliance? Or, are people behind whatever the change is? And so really looking at what is the potential that this is going to stay in place and continue to be effective, both at the individual level and at the setting level. So, three things to remember regarding re-aim, and that these five dimensions work together. They provide a comprehensive planning and evaluation framework. They balance internal and external validity, so really think about the real world and all the messiness, and you'll see some examples of how messy it can get. And really to think about, what is most important to getting this done. When we talk about weighing the, each dimension could have an equal weight or it may not. Maybe the most important thing that you're emphasizing is reach or adoption, because that's the piece that's going to really make the difference in whether or not it's effective. And then just knowing that re-aim can be applied to a variety of interventions, settings, outcomes. It can be used as an aid in decision making, but some modifications may be necessary if you're applying it at environment or policy versus individual level. And that's all I had today. Have to end it with a little joke. Thank you very much.